He couldn't make it to the meeting, and he is having fun getting a job. So just 2 days ago, he gave me a set of slides, saying, could you do this for me? I said, you know, the other way around. He not only gave me one set of slides, he gave me two. He has two talks, one for X5 and one for X1. So I had to do this for him on top of my own presentation today. And so anyway, I'll be pleased to share with you what he has been doing for his dissertation. This is part of his PhD research work. And also like to acknowledge our collaborator, Jim Doolittle, who is very well known nationally for his very cooperative spirit of National Social Service. So he has been working with us a little bit, but also many other people around the country. So to me, he's one of the best men in the NRCS. All right, getting to the meat of my student June's work, two objectives presented here. One is to basically investigate the seasonal changes of competitive training leader in two contrasting soil landscape units in our forest catchments. And they used that as a second objective to reveal hydrological processes and confront also with our real-time soil moisture monitoring. So for many of you in the room know what GPR is, and this is June, my graduate student, working with Jim Doolittle, dragging his stuff up the hill. And so I guess I will skip this intro stuff in terms of how GPR works and showing one of the cube of that particular landscape in terms of their signal reflectance. So what June has tried to do with this particular study is basically examining how what's the best time to use GPR on one hand, but on the other hand, what kind of signal we can get, not just the soil stratification, different layers, but also hydrological information by repeated use of GPR in the same location in different seasons of the year. So for those of you who may not be clear about what this kind of work might entail, here's a kind of introductory slide that he put together, showing two fairly clear contrasting layer that reflected by the signal of GPR, not just the visualization of that, but also we combine with the soil moisture monitoring in terms of knowing the water content in the soil at that particular time of that particular location. You can get the dielectric constant, and from there you can estimate the velocity of the radar electromagnetic wave, and from there you can know from the back and forth travel time of the radar signal, you can basically define the distance or thickness in terms of soil layering. So here's our study site, a forest catchment. He selects two contrasting soil and landscape units in that catchment, and I'm going to show you these two particular locations in terms of how GPR signal changes with season and how that reflects not just the soil features, but also hydrological processes. All right, so this one is the thick soil in terms of the profile feature and the layering, and the soil moisture sensor that we installed from the surface down to about 2 meters. And here is the 4.5 by 3.7 meter survey grid that was established down slope, and with the soil peak basically something like this that can provide some in-situ checking of what the signal really tells us. So again, that two contrasting layer interfaces, one is corresponding to this, the other red one corresponding to BC and C horizon interface. It look, in terms of morphology, not a whole lot difference, but in terms of physical properties, you actually can tell if you are in that particular soil pit that the density, for example, quite different, and that's also reflected in the root distribution and all that. So there are features we can pick up just by looking at that. So here is the seasonal change from dry season to wet season, the same location, how the GPR signal changed, and also corresponding soil moisture content from that array of sensors that we collect real-time soil moisture data. Now, this is a deep rice town soil with about 1.5 meter vertical distance. And you can see that during a dry condition, the GPS signal is pretty scattered. But as the soil gets wetter, you see that the contrast of soil layers as well as the hyperbolic feature of the signal shows up much clearer. And that basically is fairly good correlated with the moisture content that we are observing in that the for example, the red one, which corresponded to this red BCC horizon interface, the moisture content is pretty dry for the most part, regardless of dry season or wet season. And it's indicating, which I can show you the hydrological process behind that signal difference. Again, that same set of the moisture content distribution in dry season to wet season throughout the profile, not much change. All right? Particularly the interface we are focusing on in red, it's dry. And now looking at the real-time soil moisture change over the two-year period, again, this is that in particular interface I'm highlighting in red, that's lower in terms of moisture content than the horizon above and below. And so the message here from the hydrological perspective is that BC and C horizon interface, because of density change, it functions as a water restricting layer. The water has trouble going down vertically, and so that promotes basically lateral flow of water. And so therefore, during the dry season, you don't see much contrast. But during the wet season, hey, that horizon interface shows up because water it's much higher in content in the horizon above and below, but not at the interface. So that shows up nicely in terms of the interpretation of the LIDAR signal comparing to the moisture data that's just explained here. For example, again, zooming in portion of that earlier slide. Here is the BCC horizon interface, and this is the sea horizon below that interface at 1.2 meter. During this rainstorm event, you see the moisture content increases while the horizons above, not just this interface, but also others, not increased, except the surface horizon that during the rainstorm has a small increase and then dries down. But this sea horizon at 1.2 meter continues to go up, and that is a clear signal of the lateral flow from the upslope contributing area. And because of that, water content increase creating the contrast, and therefore we can pick up the signal of GPR more clearly. All right, moving on to the second soil, it's a shallow soil called Weicker. You can see the profile here and the sensor that we installed and a survey grid, which is smaller in that. This is a profile of that soil, and showing also clearly the contrasting signal of GPR reflecting the boundary of different layers. Showing you again the seasonal change of the GPR signal from dry to wet and the corresponding moisture content telling us the actual hydrological processes. This story is kind of a little bit in contrast to the previous thick soil. This is much shallow soil with less than half meter to the bedrock and fractured bedrock. And so during the dry season, hey, you get to see these kind of more clear GPR signal picking up at that kind of soil and bedrock interface. But during the wet condition, the signal becomes more scattered and not as sharp, and also showing you this kind of hyperbolic feature caused by the water actually showing up in the fractured rock. So the hydrological information from the moisture data that correspond to signal of GPR is basically highlighted here. The hyperbolics were caused by the water moving along the tree roots in the upper part of the profile, but also the fractured rock in the lower part of the profile. And then, therefore, in the rock conditions, water infiltrated into the fractured rock under the gradient of slope caused that kind of scattered LIDAR signal instead of sharp contrast, like in the dry condition. So, One other implication I'd like to briefly mention here is what that all tells us in terms of what's the best time to use GPR. And that's very important issue in terms of geophysical tools like GPR for soil survey or soil mapping. It's not that you grab a tool, you go out and do things, you get the signal or the result you wanted, or the optimum result may not be obtained if you do not know how seasonal change will impact the signal of moisture content influencing the soil response to the radar signal. So, as I illustrated in this brief talk from Jung's work, the two different soils in two different landscapes giving you kind of contrasting optimum time for using GPR if your goal is to detect soil horizon interfaces and how that influence hydrological processes. For the shallow weaker soil, the optimum time to identify layering as I illustrate, is in a dry condition where you see the soil bedrock interface and also weathered versus unweathered bedrock interface that showing up better in the dry condition, all right? But in the thick soil called rush time, it's just kind of opposite. You need to use the wet condition in order to detect interface between BC and C or BWBC type of contrast. So with that, here is his summary for this particular chapter of his dissertation research. Seasonal GPR signal change indicated seasonal soil moisture dynamics, and then seasonal GPR change also suggests that there's optimum time for using the tool like GPR to detect if your goal is identify soil layering, soil profile features. And then lastly, combining real-time hydrological soil moisture monitoring with the repeated GPR survey could reveal subsurface hydrological processes. With that, thanks for your attention. If we have time for questions.
Yeah, we have time for one question, please.
Yeah, Mary, can I interview? Well, certainly you're asking a very good question in terms of specifics. The presentation is very generic. All right? So obviously, different soils will have different storage capacities and different hydrological dynamics, and depending on the soil type and the landscape positions, and therefore your dry and wet may not be exactly the same. But remember, we have real-time soil moisture monitoring in situ simultaneously. So we base on the actual moisture reading. And to tell whether soil is wet or dry, that's one thing. Second is that we also, in order to provide the general guidelines of optimal use of GPR type of geophysical tool, we refer dry and wet mostly to the seasons. Dry season in the summer, wet season in the earlier spring snowmare period, or those kind of things. All right? Good question, though. That's very important to keep in mind. Yeah, Phil?
I haven't had any experience with GPR.
And you have what?
Oh. On your slides, you said you can clearly see the layers, and I couldn't clearly see the layers. So can you show me what you're looking for? And also, if you didn't have prior knowledge of the soil profile, would it be very clear?
Are you asking about the soil profile itself, or you're asking for the GPR signal?
The GPR signal.
Okay, let's just use this example. How about that? All right. Now, the soil profile obviously is ground truthing type of thing we always like to have to make sure, particularly for research purpose. All right. Now, there are a lot of tricks to go into it, not just the optimum time of using a geophysical tool, but also knowing, like Mary's question, knowing the site and the soil you're talking about. All right. And with some field experience, that will help a lot. You don't just blindly go to a site and use a geophysical tool. There are a lot to go into it in terms of time and space, and frequency of the signal, the frequency of the GPR unit, as well as how the interactions between the GPR unit with the given soil, not just the moisture content per se, but also the composition of the chemical in the soil. All right, it's all about how they attenuate or reinforce the reflectance of the GPR. For example,
quantitative values, are you using this figure that you're looking at to say, oh, I can see the change right here?
In this particular visualization of the GPR lidogram, we are talking about this kind of contrasting signal after appropriate processing of the GPR signal. They correspond in terms of the interfaces, the pink one and the green one, nicely with the in-situ observations. All right, and so I think for our particular sites, we have some good luck with how we use the units to detect what we are looking for. All right, and I think if you look at the seasonal change image like this, you might say end up a situation like that versus that for the same location. All right, in one case, for this particular soil in that particular landscape, you have good luck with identifying this layer contrast, but during a wet condition, hey, you have trouble getting a fuzzy image. Now, for the other soil I show, it's just opposite. During a dry condition, you don't get very clear contrast, but in a wet condition, you do. So there are a lot to go into in terms of understanding both the entity you are studying, but also the dynamics going on, because things change over time. It's not static. Soil is never static. Not just water, but soil itself. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, okay.
Yes.
I know we're running out of